From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, August 1st, 2025. Around 100 people rallied in downtown Portland today in support of immigrants' rights. Jacob Flores, a student at Maine College of Art and Design, says the issue is personal to him because his parents and many of his family members are Mexican immigrants.
It used to be an if question, and now it's become when. Are we gonna have family members be abducted? If we're gonna even be able to find them, and if they're even going to be deported back to where they came from, because a lot of people are being deported to countries that they have no ties to.
Flores says it's nerve-wracking to protest publicly as one of the only Latino people at the rally, but he says he feels a duty to use his relative privilege as a U.S. citizen to advocate for others. President Donald Trump is targeting Maine Senator Susan Collins in what appears to be the latest sign of their strained political relationship. Trump posted on his Truth Social network late Thursday that Republicans should, quote, vote the exact opposite of Senator Susan Collins. He then added, quote, generally speaking, you can't go wrong. In recent weeks, Collins has voted against Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill and against clawing back $9 billion in foreign aid and support for public broadcasting. Collins, who is up for re-election next year, is chairwoman of the Senate's powerful budget writing committee. In a statement, she said her votes are based on what is best for Maine and for the country. Maine has received the second highest rating from one of the three international firms that closely track state finances. Kevin Miller has more.
Credit ratings directly impact how much it costs a state to repay the debt it incurs by issuing bonds. Earlier this week, Fitch Ratings upgraded Maine one step to a rating of AA+ and said the change reflects, quote, strong budget controls and discipline, good reserves, and, quote, sustained improvement in the state's financial performance during a challenging budget cycle. Maine currently has just over $1 billion in the reserve account, often referred to as a rainy day fund, that's supposed to help states weather economic downturns. That's the maximum allowed in the fund under state law. And Governor Janet Mills says Fitch's credit upgrade shows, quote, the strength of the state's financial picture. Fitch did note in its analysis, however, that Maine's longer-term prospects for economic growth are below the national average. And one big reason is the labor challenges that come with having the oldest population in the nation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
6,500 runners will compete in the Beach to Beacon 10K race tomorrow in Cape Elizabeth. The race, which was started 27 years ago by Maine Olympic marathon champion Joan Benoit Samuelson, attracts international elite runners. Race director Dave McGillivray says this year, the race for the podium is wide open.
It's a barn burner for tomorrow. I mean, one of 20 people can win this race. There's no one individual is like, oh, that person's definitely the favorite. There's no favorites, which is great because then it becomes a very, very competitive environment, and that's what people want to see.
Race divisions include wheelchair, open, American-only, masters, and main. A school board member at RSU 73 in Livermore Falls is resigning following the board's vote last month to change its official Title IX policy to restrict transgender girls' participation in sports. Brian Riley described the vote as unnecessary and reckless in a letter announcing his resignation at Thursday's meeting. Community member Linda Dean also spoke out against the decision that she says is contrary to Maine law.
And here's the thing. We don't even have a transgender student playing sports in our school system. To my knowledge, there's one in the entire state. So what exactly is the problem being solved here?
Riley also cited health challenges as another reason for his decision to step down from the board. The Trump administration is poised to impose 35% tariffs on Canadian goods beginning August 8th, and restaurants and coffee shops along the border are already reporting less foot traffic from Canadian visitors. Houlton Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Jane Torres says businesses in the region are relying on visitors from southern Maine and Massachusetts.
We have a huge influx of summer people that come here and spend the summer in their camps or come up here to visit for a couple of weeks. They're really sustaining the economy right now.
She says Canadians are still crossing the border to visit family, but are not shopping as much as they used to. 20 miles offshore and with limited ferry service, reaching the Penobscot Bay island of Matinicus is no easy task. But that didn't deter a professional theater company from staging a production there this summer based on the story of a well-known islander. Nora Sachs has more.
Matinicus is known for its hardcore fishing community, lobster wars, ultra-resilient people. There's not too many laws, but there are some rules.
You know, if there's something that needs to be done and you're able to do it, or if you're able to help, that's what you do. You step up and do it.
Clayton Philbrook is a lobsterman, among other things.
I live year-round. My family's been here since 1826.
Philbrook is one of only 15 or so hardy year-rounders. Many residents have moved to the mainland, especially those with young families. But in the summer, the population blooms to about 100. And almost all of them have turned out at the island's church to see the Penobscot Theater Company's stripped-down rendition of Matinicus, a lighthouse play. It's a relatively new creation, written during COVID by Mainer Jenny Cannell Davis. The heroine of the story, Abigail Burgess, lived on tiny, windswept Matinicus Rock, about 5 miles south of here, in the 19th century. And most islanders still admire her.
I like her because she's very brave.
Like generations of islanders before her, 5-year-old Ruby knows this true story by heart, how back in the 1850s, Abby's father was the lighthouse keeper on the rock. But that first winter, when the supply boat doesn't show, he's forced to go to the mainland and leaves teenaged Abby in charge.
And she went up to the light bulb and made sure it was running, and the storm came.
The huge nor'easter destroys their house. Yet Abby manages to keep her sick mother, little sisters, and their chickens safe, and the lights burning for weeks until her papa returns. Versions of this story have been popularized in books, songs, and now a one-woman play.
Matinicus?
Abby, in long skirts and woolen tights, is center stage at the front of the church, next to the lighthouse, represented by a stepladder. At first, she complains about being the lighthouse keeper's daughter.
Why us? Stuck on a rock for months on end while everybody else lives their lives.
But pretty soon, Abby realizes she enjoys helping her father keep the lamps polished and the lights burning.
Morning, ships! Steer clear!
When he's gone and the storm hits, Abby begs the raging sea for mercy.
We are so small, so easily swallowed, but there are people who need us, who need our light. For their sake, please, go easy.
I'm Katie Peabody. I am playing Abigail Burgess.
Peabody says she believes the story is about women's empowerment, as Abby stepped up and did what many considered to be a man's job in a time of crisis. But then she chose to keep doing it, becoming one of Maine's first lady lighthouse keepers.
And I just think that's really inspirational for many reasons, but one of them is that I think sometimes it's hard for us to kind of be true to who we are in spite of the world telling us that maybe that's not who we should be.
Multiple women on the island told me that growing up here in such a male-dominated fishing culture, they had Abby to look up to. Peabody says she felt that on stage, like she was sharing the story, not telling it. And as Douglas Kornman sees it, this production has brought islanders together to take a much-needed break and have fun.
It is really how they gain the energy to sustain the hard work that it takes to live in these very rural and isolated communities.
Kornman is with the 120-year-old nonprofit Maine Seacoast Mission. He runs the island outreach vessel, Sunbeam, which helped bring this play to 3 outer islands, including Matinicus.
It is a community that is struggling, both with its infrastructure and with its declining and aging population, but it is not going down without a fight, and the mission is going to be here as long as this community is willing to survive.
It's a theme of resilience echoed on stage. By the end of the play, young Abby Burgess's feelings about herself, her purpose, and the rock have changed.
It's home. And in 100 years, they will write stories about me. Folk songs, children's books. When they finally decide that girls need heroes.
After the performance, the audience swarmed Peabody with hugs and words of praise. Among them, Islander Natalie Ames.
We all are Islanders, so we got the inside joke of it, if you want to say, or like the real essence of it, the remoteness, the struggle, the how dangerous the sea really is. I mean, people out here completely understand that.
The performance of Matinicus on Matinicus was the final show for now. Katie Peabody will return to the Penobscot Theatre Company in Bangor this fall to star in a production of Henry James' The Turn of the Screw. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nora Sachs.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow morning at 8 for Weekend Edition on Maine Public Radio. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.